Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call wallentainment. The Bay Area betches. Betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can, with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens, crappens,
crappens, watch what crappens, watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon available on YouTube. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and partially blurred out Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast Podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi.
I say that Ronnie's partially blurred out because I'm looking at him right now. This is a Crappens on Demand Day. What that means is we are not only just recording this with audio, but with video too. And if you want to watch it, you go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens and you can check out this episode and several others that we have actually recorded video. So you can actually see our faces when we do our ridiculous impersonations and stuff. Patreon is awesome. We do a bonus episode every week. We just did one where we recapped an episode of House Hunters. We spent an hour recapping a House Hunters episode, and it was really, really satisfying for me. This week we also have a Discord server, which is really cool. It's like a chat room, and I've decided I'm going to go on that Discord server on Thursday after we're done doing our podcast, so probably around 2 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm just going to hang out there for an hour. So if you want to ask questions about me, the podcast, Bravo, whatever you want to talk about, I'm going to be hanging out there. So that's our Discord server. So go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens to know what that's all about. Of course, we have our merchandise. We've got plenty of awesome new t-shirts, things like season one Camille, demoted a friend of, many, many more options. Go to watchforcrappens.com to get that stuff and check out all that stuff, or go to crappensmerch.com to go directly to that link. And of course, we are on tour starting at the end of September. We are going to be taking the podcast to cities, many of which you guys all live nearby. So come buy a ticket in case you haven't already. These are the cities that we are going to: Charlotte, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, two shows in Atlanta, Carrboro, North Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Indianapolis, Indiana, two shows in Chicago, two shows in New York, St. Louis, Missouri, two shows in Philadelphia, and Seattle, Washington is our last show of the year. There may be one or two more shows that wind up in the mix, so always listen to the announcements and check us out on social media. And yeah, it's going to be exciting and super fun. Don't worry about coming solo. You'll have a great time. And the Charlotte one, by the way, the Charlotte show on September 26th is part of the Queen City Comedy Experience. It's a comedy festival, so you wouldn't be just seeing us. You'd actually be seeing all sorts of like super
the actual
funny
queen.
People.
The yeah, actual well, actually, queen, is
queen Elizabeth is coming. She's going to be our guest.
Lots of Meghan Markle jokes coming your way.
Plenty of them. So come see us there because we have a huge theater for that one, and we want to fill every single one of those seats. So watchforcrappens.com for tickets. And that's all the news that's fit to print, because guess what? It is Real Housewives of Orange County premiere day.
You're a dwarf.
You're a dwarf is
you're
what
a dwarf.
You are.
You're a total dwarf.
Yes, Real Housewives of Orange County is back, and I felt some hope.
I felt a lot of hope, actually. I felt like the episode was really good. It just, the tempo was good. I was engaged. I was laughing. I was angry. It gave me a lot of things to think about. I felt like the vibe felt good. I'm cautiously optimistic about where the season's going to go.
Yeah, me too. I actually was feeling pretty good about it. Really worried about Gina. She's just a fucking mess all over the place. She's had a really rough year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of worried about that because, yikes, Gina. Like, sometimes you watch these shows and it's like, you need help. You don't need to be on a TV show. You need to, like, get yourself some help right now. This is not helping now.
I know. Okay? She's also, I feel like, starting to transition into Jenny Poulos. I was like, wait, this is really weird. Like, she's looking more and more like Jenny Poulos every episode or every interview. Yeah, I was getting, once you see it, it's hard not to see it. I was definitely getting some Jenny Poulos. But, like, my like, celebrity twinning powers is a little off because I go to weird places. Like, I firmly believe that Jack from this current season of Big Brother, if you took away his hair and his beard and made him a woman, would be Jamie Lee Curtis. So, you know.
Well, there's a girl on Bachelor who in Paradise who looks like Fred Armisen. And once I saw it, I couldn't stop seeing it. Like, it's all I see now.
You're going to see Jenny Poulos in Gina. I guarantee it.
Well, Gina, look, you know, I would never take advice from me in real life or on a podcast, but get away from Tamara Barney immediately because that does nobody any good, okay? Especially when you're going through something like this. Get away from that Satan, that possum anger face Satan.
Yeah, okay? Step away
possum
from the Tamara.
Possum on top of a dumpster, okay? Stay away.
Yeah, stay away. So speaking of Tamara, the episode opens up with a shot of Tamara's new house, not to be confused with her new house from last season or the new house from two seasons ago. Or the new house from like three or four seasons ago. You know what? Like, stop moving because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about the new house or the renovations. You're allowed that like once every like 4 years. But if it's every season, I'm not down for it. Uh-uh.
And especially when they all look exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, we've seen it, Tamara.
I know. This one was like a little bit better, but still enough. And of course, she like shows up to her new house on like a dirt bike. She's like motors up the street on a dirt bike, which I felt like was a metaphor for something. Not sure what.
Well, one of my neighbors, I've talked about him before, is like a big Trump guy. He's like the only guy in our neighborhood who's a big Trump guy. Like, he'll go to the gay pride parade wearing a MAGA hat and just try and start fights with people. And he was telling me one time, I have a dirt bike. And I was like, why do you have a dirt bike? We're in L.A. And he's like, because when it really comes down, I'm going to be able to get my family out of here. I'm like, oh God. This guy Doomsday like pictures Pepper. Himself. Yeah. He pictures himself like going over the Hollywood Hills on his dirt bike.
With his family? How's that going to work?
I don't know. You know, I learned not to ask questions.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I guess Tamara's boning up to do some dirt biking, which means that maybe we'll have Glamis part two. I mean, you know, after you like topple the dune buggy, maybe stay away from the extreme sports.
Yeah. And Eddie's like, come on, Tamara, you've got to wear a helmet. She's like, okay, dad. Okay, daddy. I don't want to wear one. And then I'm like, you know what? The last person I would suggest wear a helmet is Tamara. Okay, just keep going, Tamara. Is there a freeway ramp close?
This might lead to an improvement. I read an article like a year and a half ago about, there was this girl who wrote an article probably like on HuffPo or like Medium or something. And she was like, I am sick of people telling me to wear a helmet on my bike. How about you don't crash into me? I was like, yeah, but how about maybe both? How about maybe both? Maybe you wear a helmet. She was like this whole thing. Like, it was like, she felt like people were so condescending to her saying like, why don't you wear a helmet? Why don't you wear a helmet? She's like, cause I choose not to. And I feel like it's restrictive. And I was like, wear a fucking helmet. Like, just, why would you not take the extra, the extra precaution that might save your life, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, some people you just let live and let die. Is what I say.
Yeah. Or live and get chinchillas because we go over to Gina's house.
Poor Gina. I mean, bless her heart. Bless Gina's little heart. Last season, her first season, she was trying to convince us that everything's okay with Matt, who was never there. Her kids are running around everywhere. She's got a fireplace in the middle of her fucking living room.
Yes.
The poor woman. And now, and she had no one to talk to because she had no family life, really. So she just was always FaceTiming her parents. And now she's added the character of a chinchilla. I mean, this is like the saddest shit I've ever seen.
I know. It actually, you know what it actually made me pine for? It made me pine for a Rocky, the chinchilla on blood, sweat, and heels.
Oh, that, my God,
that,
yes.
Micah had. Oh, she was... That was a great show. That was really a great show. And Micah, whatever her name was, she was just like... we didn't deserve her, and we did not get enough of her. Yeah. She was the best.
Well, this girl now has this chinchilla, and now she's talking to it and doing scenes with it, which is really making me sad. She's like, "Hi, little chinchilla. Do you like your new house? We going to do cardio? You want to do cardio with me? You can't because you're a chinchilla, but I'm going to do cardio. God, I'm so happy. I'm so happy."
How long before that chinchilla has a little pillow in his cage that says, "Gather."
Or it's just chinchilla.
Cooks. Or he'll just have like a little. He'll have like a little poster that just says Paris.
Yeah. Cooks, sweet cooks. Or they could take the one. They could get a miniature version of the Tamara one. Not Tamara. Gretchen. We used to joke that Gretchen probably has one of those posters that has Paris in 5 different languages.
Yeah.
Paris.
Well, Tamara used to have one that said focaccia. Remember, we were doing a recap in Irvine, and we noticed it's like she just had a poster that said focaccia. For some, it's like focaccia.
Yeah, from this show, all of our Home Goods and Ross Dress for Less home section ranting began. You know,
yeah, and it's so funny because we love going to those stores. In fact, we haven't been to one together in a very long time, Ronnie. But we both individually love going. And yet, because I feel like going to a TJ Maxx or to a Home Goods, what's fun is that there's so much shit and terrible stuff, and you have to like go through it, and you've got to find, and you find the gems within the shit. So then, when you see someone like Gina who just like takes all the shit, you're like, "Ooh, she failed." You know, like I think that's why I get so angry, because I'm like, "You did not put in the effort. You did not do what you were supposed to do at Home Goods, which is look beyond that stuff."
Yeah, and there's just stuff that is always there that never sells in the store. So why are you buying it? Aren't you getting the hint? This is not – no one has this. That's why it's always ended up at Ross Dress for Less, your gather sign.
Yeah, you're always like – because that's the other thing. You go into those stores and you say, who buys this? Who buys these like strange artisanal sun-dried tomatoes that are next to like the, you know, the Matter Jaffrey frying pan? Although I would get a Mito Jaffrey frying pan. I'm sorry for even bringing her into it.
So then we go over to Emily's house, which is, you know, typical Emily's house. Emily has the Bravo stink face, you know, which we see a lot these days. And it's, I think it's people like just starting Botox late and not realizing where they're supposed to inject it. And so they just get that like something else. She's always like.
She's also like. Now fully drag queen, so like sometimes it's kind of like a drag queen aesthetic almost, you know, how like she just sort of has drag stink face right now.
Yeah, she's got a lot going on. So she was on Shane to get his bar exam passed, but guess what, now he's never home and she's stuck home with the children.
Yeah, and so the kids are going wild because I think I seem to remember them being pretty wild last year also. I don't remember, but they're wild, and there's like a kid who's literally kicking their dog. They have a little dog named Fisker, and this kid just keeps on trying to kick Fisker over and over and over again. And she's like, "Are you harassing the dog? Stop kicking the dog. Are you harassing the dog?" I was like, I am livid right now. This child is just kicking this dog, and she's like not like grabbing the child and putting him in his own cage.
Yeah, that's when you kick the child.
Yeah, kick the child. That's a
child.
Child kicking approved.
Yeah. So then we go over to Shannon, who's going to work out with her kids.
Oh, my God. Wow. New me. New
ladies kids. And gentlemen, introducing the new Shannon Stormsby door.
I've lost 40 pounds and gained a lot of fun. Look at all the fun I'm having. So much fun.
And Shannon is back.
And Shannon's trying so hard to convince us that she's new fun Shannon. And I love it because she tries this every fucking year.
Remember last year when I was so upset? Well, this year I am fun!
Oh, 40 to 50 positive thoughts. Just having a great time. I renewed my own wedding vows for myself.
And Shannon's new thing also, and this is going to be sort of like an exclusive for people who are watching the video, but like her new thing is that now she doesn't just laugh. She does like a silent, like drum break. She was like,
I love when she does that silent fake laugh. She's like, just cracking yourself up.
Oh, I've lost so many calories by shaking my entire body every time I laugh.
You know, the best thing about a housewife is watching them start happy and then slowly go insane as the show makes them crazy. And with Shannon, you get it every single season, you know? She's like the gift that never keeps having nervous breakdowns.
Yeah, she goes,
I'm proud of myself, darn it. It was 2 years of hell.
And then we get flashbacks of just like Shannon being miserable, which is my favorite form of Shannon, you know, like being half naked in front of her trainer. And
oh, that guy who's like, oh,
oh,
like,
wow.
That dick. Oh, that dick. And then here lies Shannon Bedore and crying in the car and just, you know, generally being Shannon.
Yeah. And then she goes, well, you know, the hardest work was changing the inside, sort of like when you look at a salmon and you say, you know what that salmon needs? It needs cream cheese on the inside. And that's what I have. Lots of cream cheese inside me.
He finds his self-love through cream cheese. Unfortunately, I can't do that anymore.
So she's like, you know what really needed to change? Yeah, was the inside. And then the weight just like started coming off. No. Okay, let me tell you how weight comes off. Starvation and extremely hard work. Okay, that's it. You don't have to be happier. You just have to starve yourself. Okay, Shannon, don't try and trick everybody into thinking that we're fat because we're not happy enough.
Right. One thing that made me so happy was that to see that her eldest daughter, Sophie, is starting to become Shannon, which is like, that's like, isn't that the thing that like as a parent you're most proud of, you know, when your child becomes you? Because that, 'cause the kids are working out. And we see this interview segment where it's Sophie and one of the twins, I forget which one, and the twin girl, who's like 13 or 14, she just goes, I don't really like working out. Like, I don't want a muscly body, and I think I have a pretty good body right now. And then Sophie goes,
really? I couldn't tell.
Like, just totally jealous and angry at her sister. It's little Shannon.
Oh. So yeah, she's like, well, thank God my marriage ended. Huh? Well, who thought I would ever say that?
Shannon regular Bedore wouldn't, but Shannon Storms Bedore, bring your kids in.
Thank God my marriage is over. Thank God I'm alone with a smaller house with no chandelier and not having to think about if David is walking on the beach with another woman or putting sugar in my sauce and, you know, quietly resenting me while he goes off to his Spartan races while I'm trapped in a Peloton bike. Thank God!
The new Shannon Bedore doesn't even mind living in a non-biodegradable home that you could get allergies from just walking from the bathroom to your bedroom in the middle of the night. Or
Has it been 45 seconds? Is this TRX done yet? How long can I hang from these cables? Oh, I feel like I'm with David again, stuck in limbo.
So the kids are like, fuck working out. We're out of here. We got to go get ready for the concert. We're going to see Young Gravy. She goes, Young Gravy? What? Is that a rapper?
Is that a rapper? A new Shannon Storms Bedore recipe. Am I right? Huh? Young Gravy.
Who's Young Gravy?
They leave. they never answer her.
This wait is from Young Gravy.
Oh, so then we go back over to Gina's house, and Gina has triggered Ben. So.
Triggered. I like literally stopped last night and did like 10 different Instagram stories dissecting everything in her room. So she's like still unpacking her new house, and we see her, she's carrying a planter box, right? It looked like it was a box that you put dirt in, like, and you put plants in and put it like outside. And it's like this big wooden box, like long rectangular with some straps. But for some reason, it says, antiques. And then under it, it says, collectibles, gifts, souvenirs, aughts. What is the purpose of this box, and why is it so excited about antiques?
I've just put, this is the saddest flower pot ever, and it says gather, because I didn't see what it said.
It literally said antiques. Like, antiques. Why would you write antiques on a flower box?
Because maybe the flower box is an antique.
Maybe.
It's got the label has to do with something, right?
Like, or maybe it's not a flower box. Maybe it's supposed to be a box that you put antiques and crafts into. But then,
he knows.
I like that she needs everything to be so, like, explicitly labeled. Like, where are my antiques? Oh, yeah. Thank God I've got a box that says antiques.
Yeah. She's a person in, like, a crowded space. She's like, where's the exit? There it is. Like, always looking for any sign she can.
And pillar candlesticks everywhere. We just talked about this on our House Hunters bonus, but like I was saying how I have this weird pet peeve about pillar candlesticks that are like super knobby. And like when there's like a lot of them and that's supposed to pass for decor, I just find it to be like really tacky. And she has them like everywhere, pillar candlesticks.
Yeah. So she's, of course, talking to her phone, her FaceTime on the phone, because she has no one to shoot with. And so she's talking to her dad about the new house, and you know, we're so excited. You know, I'm so excited to move out of my Kodo home because Matt and I found ourselves, you know, getting into little fights here and there. So this is good. It's good. Ones. It's all good. I'm so happy. I'm like so happy right now. Everything's great.
And she's wearing this sad cotton dress in her diary room session. Like, that is never a good sign. I don't think I remember ever seeing a housewife in a cotton dress.
I know. I thought it was so appropriate that all her moving boxes said Lowe's. Like, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. That's where you are. So, And she was like, so she starts FaceTiming her dad and she's like, yeah, we gotta do the backyard, we gotta landscape it right now because it's just a big dirt pit and the kids are just using it as a sandbox. I was like, oh, that's right, it was her kids that were the monsters, huge monsters. I forgot about that.
Yes, they were always running around her and pulling her hair, and she's like, you can't talk to me like that. You know, they're hitting her or whatever.
And let this be a lesson to people when you're breaking up with someone and you're like, you know what, we're broken up, but the best part is that we're still best friends. Well, guess what? Give it 9 months and you're in a house with a dirt pit out back that your kids are burrowing themselves into.
Oh my God, I'm just so depressed by this whole storyline. So she's, for those of you who don't know, her husband was arrested for abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so bad. This whole thing, it just gets more and more depressing. So right now she's crying to her dad because she got a DUI. And she's like, you know, she tells us, I've been getting a hell of a beating this year. I was at this mommy event, you know, doing some shopping. And I was drinking some wine. You know, I wasn't even thinking about it. And then I get pulled over. And it's like the worst defining moment of my life.
It is, because it was all grounded in legging shopping. Like, I feel like if you're going to get a DUI, at least, like, have it be like, well, I had this crazy night out with my friends. We went to the bar, and there were some strippers, and I blew a guy in the back, and it was so hot. And then afterwards, I had mozzarella sticks, and then we went to Vegas, and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rent a Ferrari, and I'm going to drive all the way home drunk from Vegas, and I got pulled over and got a DUI. You don't want your story to be like, I went to a mommy event and was shopping for leggings and had too much wine.
Yeah.
And yes, I don't care that I'm making fun of her DUI right now. I love it.
You don't care that what?
I don't mind that I'm making fun of her DUI right
now. Well, the DUI, I feel like, is make funnable because she did that to herself, you know? But I love that in your whole, like, strippers and blow weekend in Vegas, you had to include mozzarella sticks.
That's like, part of the indulgence. Like, yeah,
that's really going to party with Ben. When Ben's like, that's it, I'm eating the mozzarella sticks today. You're like, wow. It's like the equivalent of doing blow off a stripper's ass.
Yeah, my version of The Hangover 4, there's an entire set piece based around them just like pleasantly getting mozzarella sticks at the buffet. They're like, what else happened? Just mozzarella sticks.
Oh, so the dad's like, I'm not disappointed in you, honey. You get knocked down and you get back up again. I'm like, please don't quote pop songs right now. Okay?
Let's not make this a Chumbawamba moment.
So she feels really bad, and I just feel bad for knowing her whole season. But guess what? It's Watch What Crappens. We're still going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
Yay!
And I will say her couch looks super comfortable. The way she was sitting in it just was like, it looked so like, there was just so much puff to sit in. It looked nice.
Yeah.
See, I give credit where credit's due. Nice, comfortable couch.
I don't trust that couch because it went down so far when you sit on it. It's one of those, it's like cheap because you sit on it and then the other cushion is up to your boob.
That's,
you know,
true. Like, that's true. I didn't like that, but it looked like if you have to have that situation, at least it was going to be soft. Like, not like an IKEA couch, which is never comfortable.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
David, I think it's time to go to commercial. Do you want to go to commercial, David? David.
So let's see here. So then we go to Kelly.
I'm riding a car. I'm in a car.
I'm an SUV.
Yeah.
So she's in the back seat calling her new boyfriend, Brian.
Yeah, Brian. So she's talking to Brian, and she's also en route to meet up with Shannon for drinks because they're going to be single ladies, even though she's with Brian now. Sorry, yeah. I had a burp. There's something about talking about Orange County that just makes me want to burp.
I'm drinking tons of San Pellegrinos today.
Wow.
So I'll burp with you. Maybe I'll burp with you. I'm about to have another one. What do you think of that? San Pellegrino in a can.
Oh my God. They should have a podcast called Everything Tonic by Sani Pellegrino.
Wow. I hope someone out there takes that idea and runs with it. You just ruined someone's life.
That was for you. Everyone go listen to Everything Iconic by Danny Pellegrino. He's our friend.
We love you, Pelly. So let's see here. So Kelly explains how she met her boyfriend, Brian. She's like, he works at the place I get my boobies done.
Yeah. And he's like, so Kelly, guess what? I've got a surprise for you.
Jewelry?
Is it jewelry? Better be jewelry. Better be jewelry.
I want jewelry.
You're a dork. You're such a dork.
He's like, let me be the man and surprise you. What are you wearing right now? She's like, something sexy and slutty. Oh! He's like, so they're just flirting in the back of the car. Now, listen, I don't want to diss what anybody does for a living. I'm sure he does a great job. Your boobs look great. But is he turning you into a robot because you're bronze right now? The bronzer needs to stop, Kelly. She the looks like metal is sewing. She looks like a robot is coming through on her cheeks, you know, like some of the skin ripped off and like her metal is just starting to show. It's a lot of bronzer, Kel.
She's the Terminator. Imagine if, like, in the future, they sent Kelly back. They're like, we are sending you back to save society. And then they're like, guess what? Guess what, John Connor? Great news. We sent back Kelly Dodd to save humanity. They're like, no, you're supposed to send back Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why'd you send back Kelly Dodd? I'm here to save America. I'm here. You're a dork. You're a dork. Fixed it. They're like, oh, we ruined our one chance.
I'll be back.
Hasta la vista, baby. She would actually love it. I bet Kelly says more Terminator quotes per day than you'd probably expect.
I was drinking Pellegrino. Sorry. See, I'm addicted. I'm addicted, everybody.
You know what I also hate? I hate when people say, instead of hasta la vista, they say hasta la bye-bye. It's like, oh, look at you being clever.
Yeah. Hasta la later.
Yeah.
So Kelly goes over to Shannon's, and Shannon is just answers the door like, ha!
Ha! Ha! Oh, come on in. I was just listening to some Young Gravy. Great new artist. Yes, leader of the generation.
And Kelly's like, you're wasting away. Look at your butt. You're so skinny. And she tells us, I see a difference. Last year, she was heavy. She was angry. This year, she's lost the weight, and she's not a negative Nancy anymore. Hasta la vista, negative Nancy. Oh.
And then Kelly touches a coffee pot and becomes it. Like, look at my powers!
Oh, well, that's interesting. Seems you made of some sort of liquid metal. Okay.
So, Shannon would be so confused by the Terminator concept.
So, you're a robot? Oh, okay, well. All right, well, okay.
So, which version cheated on Maria Shriver? Was it the robot version or the human version? I would like to know.
You just see Shannon, like, you see the target, like,
okay, I see. Oh, cream cheese stuffed salmon, cream cheese stuffed salmon.
So Shannon's like, I am so excited to go out. I've been having so much fun. And Kelly's like, yeah, I've heard. I got to pick a picture of you with this guy. Oh my God, he's so hot.
Yeah. And Shannon's like,
huh, well, I have a couple of people on the bench. Yes, to extend this baseball metaphor, one is a fan favorite. He has a very good, what do you call it? Batting average? Ha! Ha!
We'll see if he can make his way around the diamond. Ha!
Oh, he's got a good RBI.
Popcorn
romance batted in.
Jack.
I actually do need the seventh inning stretch, though. I do get tight. I do get tight, yes.
So Kelly's like, what are you doing? Squats? Look at your butt. And then Shannon does a deep squat. Deep? And then she keeps doing them. And I have to say, that's pretty inspirational.
Yeah, I was like, damn. That was like, she just like, I mean, do you think you're at a Young Gravy concert just dropping down like that?
It is really inspirational because, look, this is coming from somebody who has to, like, creatively visualize getting off the couch for 5 minutes before I actually try to stand up. I'm like, you could do this, Ronnie.
Imagine the glorious life you're going to lead once you stand up and walk to the bedroom.
Well, she looks great, and I'm very happy because I love me some Shannon Bedore. Even when I don't agree with her, she's one of my favorite housewives of all time. So now, are we ready to get angry? Because we're going to get angry right now. Are you ready, Ronnie? Are you visualizing your anger?
And for those of you new to the show, or at least of these recaps, Tamara Barney is one of my most hated housewives of all ever. One of my most hated Bravo characters. She's a terrible person. She's a terrible friend. She's trash. She's garbage. Do not trust her. Never trust Tamara.
Yeah, no, she's not one of my most, I think that she is also terrible and she's crafty, but man, I think we are so blessed to have her nasty, nasty machinations, you know? She is, I appreciate her, the role that she plays in the Bravo universe, but wow, she's something else. So we're over at Tamara's new house, and we've got Tamara, her mom Sandy, Sandy's boyfriend Frank. They're all hanging out. Eddie's there. Oh, and also Tamara's really super charming son Ryan is there, and they're making cocktails. And Eddie is like, "By the way, we joined the country club," and they're all like excited. I'm like, "Just because you're in Sam's Club does not mean you're in a country club."
Yeah, so at the club at the end.
Yeah.
So she's running around with the country club welcome packet, like, we're in the country club, cultural country club. We are so fancy, bitch. And so she updates us on where she is. She's like, we moved together. And Ankara is a ghetto community. And when you say you live here, everyone's like, oh my God, you're so rich. The house right now is just stunning. The previous owner was an interior decorator, and it's just how I would have done it. I'm like, it is not just how you would have done it, Tamara.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's the Cape Cod aesthetic batch. I'm like, you don't even know what Cape Cod is. You think it's a potato chip. So she's like, I will say, I actually thought the house looked,
it's,
I thought,
beautiful.
The house looked great.
Yeah,
but
it's
then
beautiful.
It's beautiful. And then we cut back to her in the kitchen, and she's got those stupid checkerboard, like, accessories. Like, she's got the giant tea kettle that's the size of like a small child, checkerboard, a bowl that's checkerboard, it's from like the Caroline Manzo collection, all these weird checkerboard things in this like lovely Cape Cod house. Tamara, enough with the if nothing else, get rid of the checkerboard kitchen accessories.
She ends all this with, oh my God, it's everything I could wish for, and it's double gated.
Yeah, you know what? It's everything she could wish for. I was going to make a mean joke about being erased by her daughter, but I thought, you know what? No, Ben, stay classy, Ben. Stay classy, okay?
Stay in the classy zone, Ben. We have tons of time to roll in the mud.
I know. It's still too soon to get dirty.
So then she's like, Ryan, how do you feel about sitting down with Spencer and resolving your differences?
Yeah, oh. So the news here is that Ryan, shocker, loves Donald Trump, and Spencer, Spencer does not. And so they have a rift.
Yeah, so they're fighting, and he's like, listen, Mom, there's nothing wrong with loving America. And she's like, I don't care about loving America. You threatened to punch him in the face. And he's like, well, he shouldn't have called me racist. Oh, really, Ryan? What an interesting thing to be mad about, Ryan. Let me find this article that I have pulled up right now. Tamara's son, Ryan. Oh, well, that's his transphobic rant. So we'll get to that. Okay, so, guys, here's the first part. This was being shot, I believe, in January. And this is what happened in January with Ryan. He got caught on Instagram saying some pretty hateful shit, okay? One was about a baker who refused to make a cake for a trans person or something.
Yeah.
And Ryan commented, Hopefully this guy goes on a rampage and kills whatever transgendered fuckhead took him to court. Oops, did I just say that? So there's your first thing, you fucking asshole. So then in this one, he's talking about, so anyway, we'll stick with this one for right now. So nobody's really gotten mad about this. Nobody said anything. I can't believe they're even allowing this jackass on the show still. It's fucking disgusting, Bravo. Shame on you.
Yeah.
So not only are they allowing him on, instead of making it a storyline while this is happening, they're just going to make it into a general Trump thing. So Tamara can have at least, you know, half the half the country that's on Trump's side on her side. This is not even about that. Your son's a fucking homophobe and a racist.
Yeah.
Jackass. He's... And of course, trash makes trash, Tamara.
Yeah, he's like, you know, my brother got offended because I was for building the wall. And, like, just because I said that, he thought I was a racist. I was like, well, let's see. There is a president who said that Mexicans are rapists and criminals, etc. And the wall was built to keep them out. So the wall is basically the product of a policy that was rooted in racist rhetoric. So when you're for it, you know, sometimes people might think you're a racist. Sorry.
Yeah, and not only... You know, you're going to fight about it by punching him and threatening to hit him.
Exactly.
You're the worst, dude. You're such a fucking...
And good for Spencer, by the way. Good for Spencer to sticking up for his, like, trash brother, against his trash brother. And then Ryan... So then we get to this, like, really, like, creepy
shot. I have one thing.
By all means.
I'm so sorry.
By all means.
I'm not done, okay, looking through this fucker's life. So speaking about the I'm not racist just because I said a thing about a wall. Okay, what about this, Ryan? So Snoop Dogg did a tweet after one of the mass shootings that we've been having way too many of in this country. Snoop Dogg put out a tweet that said, three of them killed 30 people. Three of them killed no one. Look at the differences in the mugshots.
Oh my God,
and the top row is three of the white mass shooters with not a scratch on them. And the bottom row is black, I don't know, people who got arrested who are black who are beat, the shit is beat out of all of them. So Ryan tweets, hey, at Snoop Dogg, fuck you. Enough said. Done with people crying about racism when all these rappers glorify it. So then...
What? What is that even? All the rappers glorify racism?
Such an idiot. So yeah, then someone... this is not Ryan's tweet, by the way. This is just some other asshole. Says, black on black crime. Let's talk about that, Snoop Dogg. Blacks do mass shootings of each other on a daily basis. Let's talk about how your people are just straight up fucking savages with no fucks to give because their ancestors were slaves. Every race was slaves at one point or another. And then Ryan replies to this person saying, fucking thank you.
Wow.
So fuck you, you racist
fuck
piece
you.
Of
you
shit.
You are a racist. Listen, we've always known he's garbage. He's been garbage since he first appeared on this show. And in a way, it's been fascinating watching the evolution of his garbageness. It's like you know what it is? It's like checking in the garbage can and being like, oh, there's not a lot in there. Oh, there's a little bit more. Oh, there's a little bit more. And now it's starting to stink. And now the garbage can is like overflowing and you can't close the top on it. And you know you've got to take it out, but it's just going to still keep growing because that's what we've seen with him. And then it cuts to this shot of him where, like, in his, like, interview, where now he's all clean-shaven, so he looks even creepier than he ever has looked before.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, half my family is Mexican, the other half is black. It just doesn't make sense. I'm like, you're right, it doesn't make sense why you believe in this shit, because you do have family that's Mexican and black, and you say this shit and you support this shit.
And of course, Tamara, because this is a big whitewash over all of this stuff that Ryan was getting in trouble for. Like, oh, we're not going to talk about this, you know, so there's another fuck you to Bravo. That's shitty of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Tamara's like, well, listen, I'm not into politics and I'm not going to say which side is right. And he's like, oh, okay, Mom, you want to watch some Fox News with me? Because we can watch some Fox News. And she's like, how about CNN? And he's like, don't even say those words.
Oh, Mom.
And they're trying to make it like this cute family who disagrees on politics. It's just,
but he's like
gross,
full garbage. And the fact that he's putting this spin, like he's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry that I really support like a rigorous and intolerant sort of policy that somehow makes me racist. It's like, and then he's the one who talks about Spencer needing to understand, like, if you say things, there's consequences to it. I'm like, yeah. So, similarly, if you support certain things, you know people are going to call you racist. You know, like, if you do trashy things, which you often do, Ryan, people are going to call you trash, like we are doing right now.
Yeah, and suffer the consequences. Yeah, like getting punched in the face. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, it's so obnoxious. So Tamara basically is like, you know, Ryan is essentially jealous of Spencer because Ryan grew up with, like, nothing. And he started to bald at 13. And Spencer is, like, smart and has a future ahead of him and has ambition. And we like him more. So, basically, Ryan is jealous. And that's what it boils down to. Which may be true as well.
Yeah, because he was raised poor and Ryan was raised fancy. So, he's jealous. Well, you know what? Plenty of people who were raised without money are not jackass, you know, violent pieces of shit who get the cops called on them for abuse at their household. I mean, just,
exactly.
It's just disgusting. So gross.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, I don't hate Spencer. I just think he crossed the line. Ugh, I hate it. This guy sends out these vile tweets, these vile, inconsiderate, intolerant tweets and supports, you know, again, this policy. And then he says that his brother crossed the line. I hate that. And he's the one who tries to punch him.
A racist is crossing the line to call someone a racist. Like, my God.
I know. Oh my goodness.
So I watched this and I was disgusted just because I was really wondering how they were going to deal with, like, the trans tweets and the black, you know, the racist tweets. And this is how they deal with it. Just really, really fucking gross. I will say thank you to Bravo for this. One thing that gives me life is rage, and I'm going to be filled with
it
now.
I know. It felt so good. It felt so good to be so angry so early in the show. I was, like, so happy. So happy. So now we go back to Shannon and Kelly. I'm, like, so angry right now. Shannon and Kelly, and guess where they're going to? The Quiet Woman. And as they show up, Shannon just goes, ha! Ha! Look at that! Ha! Ha!
The Quiet Man! Isn't that ironic?
Doing all this go ahead.
No, I was just doing a Shannon laugh.
They do all these fancy shots like it's the fanciest place in the world. You know how they do? Like, dun, dun. Yeah. It's like a Casino Morongo commercial where they're like, look, someone's spraying some soda on some eyes. Putting food on a tray. I'm like, it's a pub.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, hey, where's Kelly? I'm over here. I'm still latched onto the back of this car. You're a door. Can someone release me from the car? Anyone?
So, God, I'm having chest pains. It's not weird. Don't mean to worry anybody.
We talked about Ryan. That's why.
No kidding. I'm giving myself a coronary.
Could you imagine?
Probably. I probably will die.
Ronnie, if you have a heart attack, I don't want you having a heart attack within the same few minutes that we talked about Tamara's trash son. Okay, so just, like, hold off for a second.
Yeah, I would. I would have a heart attack talking about fucking Tamara. That's who does me in to get me back for all these years of screaming rage at Tamara. So Shannon, they're talking to Julius, the manager, and Shannon's like, well, I would like to say right now, Julius, one of the last nights I was here at the Quiet Woman was when I tossed a plate with a steak on it.
Wow. Oh, what a crazy time. I'm much more stable now. I'm very emotionally stable. I would never, ever throw a plate because I'm secure in the way I look and not at all angry about David.
The new Shannon.
Oh, Shannon's Bedard. You know, life surprises you. It's more fun, you know, when you don't know what's coming. Like, I might just throw another plate. Ha!
So Kelly orders an espresso martini. Oh my God, what do you want, below deck? I'm an espresso martini. It's espresso, okay. So can I have an espresso martini? And then Shannon goes, with tequila. She goes, yeah, with tequila. What the hell? What is that? Is it a tequila martini?
I don't
know.
Never
heard of that.
Like espresso and tequila, maybe it could work, but I'm scared. I'm concerned.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. So Shannon's been sort of hanging out with a guy that she just calls Babe. She's like,
well, I called a guy Babe. It's the first time I've called someone Babe ever. Huh? He's actually a very small pig, and he talks. And it's actually more of I just watched a movie called Babe. I'll just say it. I watched a movie called Babe, and it was wonderful.
I'm just dating Babe to get to James Cronin. What a hottie!
Well, you know one of my favorite Babes is Babe Ruth, who plays baseball. Home run on the bench, RBI, stolen base. Love.
The old Shannon loved Baby Ruth, but that's over.
So she's like, oh, there's so many guys. There's Babe, then there's the guy who wears suits, and then there's the guy who owns a jeans store.
There's the guy who was married to me for 19 years and gave up on us.
Not even thinking about.
So then, did you notice that girl standing right behind Shannon at the busy bar? And she's just smiling at the camera like,
hi, it's me.
Like she's trying to be on TV.
She's acting like she's at the Today Show window. I'm surprised she didn't have a sign up saying hi to her grandma.
Well, that is like hitting the lottery. Listen, we are tourists who have gone to the Quiet Woman. Okay,
yes, we've sat
so we understand what that's like, and so you know that's like hitting the jackpot. It's like Housewives fan at the Quiet Woman just for that, and then Shannon and Kelly come in to shoot.
I mean, that's kind of a dream come true. So, so they start gossiping about Gina and how she got a DUI, and Shannon's like,
"Well, the stupidest thing that could happen to anyone is having a salmon with no cream cheese. And the second stupidest thing is a DUI in today's world. I mean, a DUI.
And Shannon, who's changed so much and learned to let go of so many things, is like,
I mean, I don't know if you know how much.
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm reading the long lines. But she's like, this is the girl who said, who used the word self-medicate with me, which cost me tens of thousands of dollars, by the way,
because David said I admitted to self-medicating on TV and then tried to...
And so she starts going into this whole thing. But yes, she did say self-medicating, but she wasn't the one talking about that. Vicky was the one saying, yeah, listen, she's drinking so much and she's having a glass. She's all depressed and she's having a glass of wine, or she's drinking every night before she goes to bed. And everyone around was just like, yeah. And Gina said, oh, self-medicating. She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Shannon.
And on top of that, Shannon is the one who had the entire mental breakdown in the Bahamas. So I think that's more of the incriminating evidence there.
Yeah. But how are you going to still be friends with Vicky when Vicky was the one saying that? Come on.
So, yeah, so then Kelly's friends, she has friends named Elaine and Emily. I don't know, were they twins or whatever, but, like, suddenly, like, a bunch of women who looked exactly identical, they looked like the Robert Palmer girls who would sing Simply Irresistible, who Heather Dubrow dressed up as for one Halloween. It was like all those women just, like, arrived and sat down next to them, and I was like, what is happening? What's going on?
Yeah, but it's like all the Robert Palmer girls in current time.
Yeah. Like whatever happened to. They're also swaying with the guitar.
Simply Irresistible.
He's so fine. It's like Dorinda. That was her past life.
He's so fine. She can't go with me, money, man.
Simply Irresistible. Ka-ching!
The other day, Dorinda posted this tweet that was a picture of James Gandolfini in a pool with Edie Falco. It's like, is it? Exactly like us. I mean, this is just like me and John.
Oh, I don't feel like I want them to be my comps for my, for like if I'm going to compare myself and my relationship, I'm not going to go towards Carmella and Tony Soprano.
Yeah. And as someone who struggles with weight, you know, I get it. I'm not going to kill myself over it, but I don't need you adding me as James Gandolfini on Twitter, especially if you supposedly love me. Please don't. Okay.
So we learn that the new girl, Bronwyn, is going to be showing up, and Kelly's like, now I know you don't like new people. Like, you were mean to a whole bunch of people, like, you know, like Megan and Emily and Gina and Young Gravy. She's like, no, me? And then we see, like, a montage of Shannon just being miserable to everyone, which is used to be Vicky's role. That was what Vicky used to do, but Shannon does a great job at it, too.
Yeah, and Kelly's like, yeah, well, this girl has seven children. And Shannon's like, seven? I'm tapped out on that one. Tapped out.
Oh, I don't want it.
So then a creepy-ass guy in, like, this purple shirt, like, shimmies up, like Steve Martin. He's like, hey, I'm just one wild and crazy guy. Hey, yeah, what's going on?
Oh, it's Babe. Pig in the City. I know I'd like it's a pick in the blanket. That's what I would like.
And Kelly's like, yeah. Oh, no. Isn't this where she meets Babe? Didn't Kelly introduce her to Babe? Or is this who Shannon's been dating?
I think this is who Shannon's been dating because they, like, I'm pretty sure they kiss, right? So I don't think this is the first time Shannon met Babe.
Well, they kiss. That's why I was like, Shannon, you little dog.
No.
I wrote down, Kelly said, Shannon. Maybe Shannon said it. This is my friend Babe. He's hot. Someone said he's hot. He's got hair.
I think that was Kelly who said that. Kelly said that.
And his shirt's unbuttoned, like down to the belly button, you know.
Do you know where John Connor is, Babe? Do you? I'm just going to push that idea because I'm just amused by the idea of Kelly being a Terminator. I'm just going to do it the whole rest of the episode. And you just
Where
have to
are
deal
you?
With it. Where's John Connor? He's a little dork.
So Bronwyn comes in and Shannon just gives her the Shannon look for the new people. She's like, huh. You know, she's giving her half face. Look at you, new person. And she's also mad that she's in extremely good shape, Bronwyn,
yeah,
you know, for having seven children. So Shannon just gives her this stink eye and then makes herself smile. And she's like, ha, wait, this is your friend with seven kids? That is crazy.
I'm not jealous at all that she's in a stable marriage and has had many children that has not affected her weight at all. I'm happy for her. Look at me smile. Hey, let me shake around in my chair. I'm so happy. Oh, yes, very accepting of Young Gravy over here.
Well, if Young Gravy wanted people to like her, then she shouldn't have her first name be Young. That is not. I started Gravy, 30-year-old.
Well, Miss Young Gravy-year-old. I start gravies.
So, Kelly's like, how did you nurse all those babies? And Shannon's like,
well, here's how I did it. The first one, I nursed 26 months. And the next one, 16 months. And the one after that, oh, just forget it. I just started putting cream cheese in her mouth.
I would just attach her to the chandelier and make it go up and down a bunch of times.
So then Kelly's like, yeah, look at her. She breastfed too long. Look at her boobs. Does she need a boob lift? She needs a lift. Shannon needs a boob lift.
Yeah. So Bronwyn describes that her mom is 64. Like, the reason why Bronwyn looks so good is because her mom is 64 and still wears a bikini. And we see a picture of this mother, and she is wearing a bikini, and she's got like dreads, and she's also a doctor. Her name is Dr. Deb, and she's into plant-based medicines. She's basically like a new version of Lydia's mom, but even more out there.
Yeah, she's Lydia's mother played by Betsy Johnson. Right?
Oh dear.
She looks just like her. Yes. So then Shannon's like, well, this is about fun. I'm going to dance. I'm going to kiss. I'm going to do what I...
Mozzarella sticks, possibly. Do what I want to.
Not the mozzarella sticks again. They were the end of me.
So, speaking of fun, we then head over to Emily at home, where she's helping her kids reading something, which is basically her sitting on a couch being like, the itsy bitsy spider, quiet. Yeah.
And the kids are just being nightmares because they're young, you know, they're running all over and screaming and yelling. And she's like, I'm going to call daddy. You just keep reading. So she FaceTimes Shane. Mm-hmm. And Shane is like, hi.
She's like, are you still at the library? He's like, no. Are you at your parents' house? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my girlfriend's
bedroom.
It's my girlfriend's bedroom. King of Snarkasm!
Yeah, he is still hilarious as ever, hiding in his parents' house, his childhood bedroom. Street.
Yeah,
I like also that Emily was like, don't pick your nose. Do not pick your nose. And then she stops and like has his boogers all over her hand and then just like picks up the phone and starts dialing. I was like, God, this poor Emily. I feel for Emily right now.
I know. I also liked Fisker. Fisker like walked into the room with like a little bandana like, okay, you want to fucking kick me? I am ready for you now, bitches. I was like, be quiet, yeah. Fisker.
Fisker's taking no more shit from this family.
No, never again. That poor dog has like a little limp. It's like been through a lot, but finally has like gained the confidence to like attack his bullies.
And Emily tells us, you know, she's upset because she's stuck home with the kids. She's working all day. Her husband is, like, studying, so he's never home, you know? So he's, like, taking his break because he told her, if I'm going to pass the bar the third time, I'm going to need to not have kids around me. So now he's just never there.
Yeah.
And so poor thing is miserable, and you can tell in her interview look, too. I mean, Emily and Gina both have the most depressing interview looks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Emily's is, like, a red dress, like a boobalicious dress. The dress is fine, but she's wearing these big thick gold chains, you know, around, and it's just such symbolism. I feel so bad for her.
And she's trying to FaceTime with Shane, and the kids are making all this noise, and she's like, turn off your book. I'm like, if your book has to be turned off, I don't think it was a smart purchase in the first place. Books are not electric.
Kindles are. My book has to be turned off.
It was not a Kindle. Okay.
Open my chips.
I was like, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she just gives them all little bags of pirate booty. And then there's a wide shot of the living room, and she's on the phone. She has one kid who's, like, pushing this, like, speaking book, another kid doing something else. And another kid, I don't know if you saw this, another kid was doing, like, a slow dance with Fisker. Fisker was on his back legs, and the other kid was holding Fisker by the paws, and they were dancing. I was like... Fisker's like, I came in to fight and I found love instead.
Yeah.
This is why I've decided to stop being less defensive. Ha!
It's like a little shadow.
My walls are down. Bark.
So Emily's like, Shane, it would be really great if you could, like, come home to help. And Shane's like, nah, you're doing just fine. I love that Shane's coming back for his second season. Normally this is where husbands try to redeem themselves,
yeah,
especially after last season when Emily was saying at the reunion that he's taken so much shit from people and people are so mean to them online. And so this season he just comes back being a prick. He's not going to just double down on that.
He's not going to change for anyone.
And so, guess what? People with kids study for the bar, and they still help out at home. What are you, five? Going to your mom's house to hide in your bedroom from your own children? Come on.
Yeah. So now we go over to a place called Catmosphere, where we are about to have a behind-the-scenes look at the new feature film, Cats. Starring... yeah, this is like a cat adoption place, with sort of place where you go in and you can pet the cats and everything. So Kelly and Jolie go to Catmosphere Laguna, and Kelly tells us, she's like, I want to get a feral cat. There are a lot of rats on the beach. There are a lot of dorks. Dorks on the beach called rats. I want to get a feral cat to kill them.
Pharaoh. She kept saying Pharaoh. I want to get a feral cat like Mia. She catches so many rats. A feral cat. And Jolie's like, no. No one wants a cat that's like Mia Farrow, okay? She's like, I want a feral cat. She just keeps saying that. So then the producer's like, no, it's not feral cat. It's feral cat. And she's like, good, because I always wanted to name my cat Will Farrow. Like...
She probably goes to, like, Sprouts and is like, do you guys sell any feral? No, that's Pharaoh. What? I can't keep up. So
let's
they go
sing Christmas carols. You know.
So we go into this place, and there's a lady at, like, the front desk, and her little placard says Crazy Cat Lady, and the phone rings, and she goes, meow, thank you for calling Catmosphere Laguna. Can I help you?
And the other desk lady is like, okay, guys, if you're going to come in and see the cats, we're going to need you to sign a waiver. And Kelly's like, why? Is it going to scratch me? I want a feral cat!
Are they ferals? So, I mean, I love the fact that this scene is rooted in the idea that there's a rat problem in Newport. Like, so they're getting like, self-defense cats. So, the thing is that Kelly hates cats, but she wants to get a cat because of the rampant rat problem that she's facing. And she's like, I've been in cat fights before. And then we see a montage of Kelly fighting, but they dubbed over, like, cat fight sounds, which was more funny than it really should have been.
Oh, it's pretty good.
You are...
So
she's telling the lady she wants this cat to kill the rats, and she's like, but I think there are coyotes on the beach. So, and the lady's like, yeah, when we adopt our cats out, we prefer that they stay indoors. And she's like, gross. Oh.
next year on Real Houses of Orange County. So it turns out there's a rampant stray cat problem in Newport now. Don't know how that happened. So she's talking about how she doesn't like cats because they poo and pee in a box. And she's like, that's gross. I'm like, hello, that is like the best perk of a cat is that, like, you know, with dogs or other animals, you got to like race back up, but they're just going to shit on your floor, like a big old piece of shit right there. But with a cat, they like, they do their own thing. They bury it. I mean, that is like, I mean, how could you not love that?
Yeah. Yeah. We're just different people, you know?
Right. I like an animal that takes care of itself.
So she won't touch the cat. She's freaking out. And then they sit down to talk and Jolie is, Kelly's like, I don't like touching pussies. So let's have a mother to daughter talk. Now, did dad ask you about Brian? And she's like, no. She's like, because he's mad that I introduced him to you.
Right. And they have this like conversation. And I guess Jolie's saying something like how gold diggers go after Michael, but Kelly goes after rich people or something like that. And she's like the milkman. She's like, no, the milkman was poor. He was poor.
Yeah. Or she's like, yeah. And then we get a clip of the milkman going, I like tacos, burritos,
tostadas,
taquitos.
And then we come back to Kelly and Jolie just talking. And then a cat sneaks up behind Kelly. And I mean, I lost my shit because, like, ooh! She's just like, the cat's like, hi. Oh,
classic cat.
Never seen someone terrified of cats.
I know, especially when they've been sent from the future.
So Gina and Emily go have lunch, and Emily is in a bizarre clown collar homage maroon sweater. what the fuck is Emily wearing right now?
I don't know. Like, I really think that she's gonna show up at Mickey's for their midnight drag show anytime soon.
Bless her. So then Gina, they're looking over the menu and it's super awkward. And Gina's like, yeah, I've had a big appetite because of, you know, what happened. And it's just silence while Emily's looking at her like, stink face, stink face, stink face, yeah. Stink face, stink face, stink face. She goes, okay, tell me what happened.
Even though Emily is the one who, it sounds like Emily's the one who got her out of jail, right? Or some, it sounded like that from what they were talking, but she's like, all right, tell me, this is totally not something we're doing just for the cameras. So Gina's like, well, I was at a mom event at my friends, and, you know, looking at leggings, jeggings, shorts, more leggings, big leggings and small leggings, and, you know, they give you a little cup and they pour it up over and over again. It's like wine and wine and wine and so much wine, it's hard to keep track of. And Emily's like, so did you know how much you had? She goes, yeah, but I felt okay. I'm like, you can't talk about how you had a little cup of wine that they kept refilling, like, without your knowledge. And then you're like, no, I totally knew how much I had.
Yeah, she's like, well, I mean, I know I drank, but I just wanted to get home to the kids. And she's like, well, when they pulled you over, did you think DUI? And she's like, no, not at all. I mean, like, I didn't think it was for that at all. And then, you know, the girl that was with me, my passenger in the passenger seat, she had a roadie. And Emily's like, oh, so you're just all jackasses.
You know, my biggest concern when I got pulled over, I was worried that the police officer could smell the mozzarella sticks on my breath.
So Emily tells us, that's not a good thing, a DUI. You can get your license taken away, and you're always going to be known as someone with a DUI, which means you're irresponsible and make bad decisions.
Cut to Emily's children, like, tearing apart the pillows. So yeah. Gina,
cut to your children kicking a dog,
which is like exactly
a sign of being a psychopath.
So Gina is like, it was so scary when I went to the jail. Like, all the cells there have clear walls, and you can see from cell to cell to cell. And I'm telling you, not a single cell had a pillow that said gather. How do we know where to gather? Okay, it was terrifying.
There was just one guy in there, and he was bashing his head up against the glass over and over. And I thought, oh my God, am I going to be put in a cell with a crazy guy?
I was like, when is Tamara going to get Ryan out of here? He's hurting himself. It was so crazy and awful. Where was she?
He
where
just
was
kept
Jill
saying, I didn't mean this kind of wall. I didn't mean this kind of wall. I'm on the wrong side.
Also, was like Gina put into like Magneto's prison or something like that? Why was she in this like giant like
what is
clear
Orange County? Yeah,
plexiglass prison that she.
There's like a child in the cell next to her moving the toilet around with his eyes.
Her prison experience was directed by Tarsim or something. Like what? Why did it, what has happened? What is? Where did she go? Where did they send her?
So she's like, "Are you disappointed in me?" And Emily's like, "No. I mean, yeah. I mean, actually, come on, it was a dumb thing to do. You know, you're lucky it didn't become a custody issue because that could immediately become a nightmare for you." And she tells us Gina's drinking more, her divorce is more difficult than she's letting on, and it manifests in stupid decisions. I was like, did she pick out that sweater for you? Because that would explain a lot.
You still like me as a friend, though, right? Yeah. No. I love when she did that reversal. No.
Like, going on, just don't put yourself in that position that will endanger anyone else. And I know you're a good person, and I'm a good mom, and I love you. And check, please, she's paying.
Exactly. So now we go over to Bronwyn's house, where it's 6:41 in the morning with the baby. And I was like already bracing. I was like, okay, let me see how this scene's gonna go. It's gonna be, ugh, it's so hard having so many kids. It never ends. Being a mom, it's so hard, but it's like, it's so rewarding, but there's always this to be done and this to be done. I was like, I am not ready for this. I hate these sort of scenes. And guess what? It wasn't like that at all.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised too.
Pleasantly surprised.
I was really scared when I saw this. A picture calendar, you know, that you get made at the
store
or Walgreens or whatever. And it's a photo calendar, and it says, "Every family has a story," in that cursive font. Here's ours.
But you know what, Ronnie? I also was scared about that. And no, it's worse. Ronnie, you're actually incorrect about something. It was not a calendar. It was a family picture that was on the wall, and those words were painted on the wall above and below it.
Wait, oh.
Yeah, because I looked at it. At first, I was like, ugh, what a stupid calendar. And then I was like, wait a second. That's written on the wall.
Oh, God.
I was like, okay, this woman is terrible.
Yeah, so I was afraid. But then she, you know, she seems fine to me.
She's actually fine, yeah.
We'll say this. She talks way too much, and she talks very quickly. Taking notes, I was like, what is it? I've got 2 pages of notes of her just monologuing about her family. And here's why I had kids, okay? You know, I don't know anyone with 7 kids in the OC. Bella's the introvert. Rowan's a classical dancer. Jacob's a musical kid. The twins, Caden is sweet, and Curran likes things his way. And Koa is a Tasmanian devil. And Hazel is happy all the time. The best baby you could hope for. I mean, everyone thought we were in a commune because we didn't always live here. We lived in Miami, and they don't really parent their children. I mean, it is crazy. It's like blah blah blah. Yeah. It's like that is so much.
It was definitely a lot of exposition, but I guess when you have 7 kids, you need a lot of exposition. The kids seemed overall like nice kids and well-behaved, and everything was like, I was shocked that it was everything that I expected from her so far in this early scene did not come to fruition. I mean, that painting aside, she was like, she was actually pretty chill, and she even was saying at one point, like, since they're from Miami, she was like, she basically was like, you know, when we, like, the wives in Miami, they knew that being a parent was part of your identity. But in Orange County, it's a competitive sport. I was like, oh, so she doesn't even like to even lead about the fact that she's, like, a big, well, not that lead. But I was like, either way, I was surprised.
Yeah. And she's like, someone said, is your son even going to is his school academic enough? And she's like, he plays in the dirt. Like, fucking cares.
Yeah.
So she was born in a trailer park in Delaware, and then her mom fell in love with a surfer from Huntington. So they went to visit grandfather in Laguna, and he was rich as hell. And she's like, and that's when I was like, I want a nice life. So that's going to happen.
And she met Sean, her husband, at a frat party, and he was like, hey, are you Jerry Hall from Star Trek? And she's like, no, I'm Bronwyn. And they got married. And they went and happily ever after. And then we see Sean has to go back to Miami for something. And he's like, oh, I guess Bronwyn mentions it. And then the kids are like, what? Miami? Wait, I didn't know. Seriously? Dad? And then they're all just doing dad.
I like when they were coming down for breakfast and she puts the baby in the high chair and she takes the bag of pirate booty. I don't know why pirate booty is all over this episode.
Displayed.
But she's like, we don't eat booty for breakfast. We do not eat booty for breakfast.
The baby is like just like reaching for it with his like delicate like wrist flare. Like, no, I will have pirate booty. Thank you.
So then we go over to Kelly.
Pelicans in the rain. Mm-hmm. There was pelicans flying in the rain.
Pelicans in the rain. Yeah. So we go over to Kelly. She's going to Cosmeticare.
Oh, who's he, Brian? He's a dwarf.
Brian Regan. Oh. And so she walks into his office and he's like, hey, staying dry? And she's like, not around you. He's like, okay, then.
I'm trying to see if my vagina's wet right now. A wet vagina. So Brian got her a whole bunch of roses. And then he's like so cheesy all of a sudden. He's like, hey, listen, I just want to thank you for the past couple of months. You really meant a lot. So here is a shoebox greeting card for you.
Maxine can say it better than me. And a gift. And he had his secretary bring in the flowers, which I just thought was funny. He's like, thanks, Kat. Kel, would you close the door? Okay. Yeah. He pulls out the little gift, and behind him is another dozen roses. So I'm like, well, where did you get your roses, doctor? Mm-hmm. What is going on here?
So Kelly's reading the card, like, roses are red, violets are blue, I've got a boner, and I hope it goes in you. Oh, that was so sweet.
So he's like, hey, this is Sophia Day. She's a very hot designer. Very hot. Very hot. Those are diamonds done in rose gold. Yeah. I love rose gold. I know. I listened to you. That's how I knew.
Oh, I was like, wow, this is a really exciting romance happening right now. So they talk about Michael and how Michael doesn't want to meet Brian and all this stuff because all this complications with Jolie and Michael does, you know, maybe Michael's jealous, yada 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 yada.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. I was like yada 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 to Ronnie, passing it off to Ronnie because I didn't write any more notes about the scene. I just said Michael doesn't want to meet Brian.
That's it. So then Tamara and Shannon are in a car driving and just.
I'd love a crossover SUV. Wow. I'll tell you who crossed over. My fat to not from my body.
And it's raining still. And so Shannon's like, please drive carefully. And Tamara's like, I know. I thought Spencer drives slowly. And he's like, Mom, shut up. I was like, well, that's good. I mean, at least he wasn't saying, you know, something racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like trying to think of something acceptable and horrible at the same time. I'm like, nah, just skip it. It's Tamara. Okay, she doesn't deserve it.
So, Shannon, if you'd noticed in the episode, Shannon's face looked slightly refreshed, and that's because 2 weeks earlier, she went and saw Dr. Regan herself, and we see footage of, this needle thing being like, it's like that scene in the movie Brazil. That's what was happening. And now she's...
Yeah, her face just lifted over her head, you know.
So, Tamara wants to have, like, some sort of, like, betch party or betch-becue, you know? I'm not sure. Something like that.
A betch-becue.
A house betching? I don't know.
So, she's going to have everybody over, and then they drive up to Brian's office, and they see Kelly's car there, which is a G-Wagon that looks mustard yellow to me. I'm not sure what color it's supposed to be.
Orange-yellow, non-traditional G-Wagon color.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know about this G-Wagon. Wasn't Jolie saying earlier in the episode, God, this car is so ugly, and Kelly's like, no, it's not! It's like Indiana Jones!
She probably didn't think anything of it because I didn't realize the exterior of the car was this strange color.
Yeah, and Tamara's like, oh my God, that's the ugliest color G-Wagon I've ever seen in my life. It looks like baby shot. It looks like Debra.
I'm like, it's literally the same color as your shirt and the makeup you have on your face, so don't want to break any bad news to you, but yes, you have proof face and it looks like diarrhea.
Oh my God, do you want to get into tweets?
Oh my God, of course, yes.
Of course, I have to tell everybody.
What happened?
So Kelly and Tamara obviously are not going to be getting along this season at some point because they're fighting on Twitter. Because she, and these are all out of order. I was just, as people posted them. Okay, these. So this one is Kelly Dodd going, living in Kodo, you're rich, LMFAO, for laughing emojis. Who says that? Kodo is in the sticks. And then Tamara replies, I pay for my houses. I don't date old men for money. And Kelly wrote back, and my boyfriend is your age, so I guess you're saying you're old. LMFAO, six laughy faces. And so Tamara writes, let's compare income if it bothers you that much, laughy face. And she goes, take your own CBD and relax. Michael was the president of many public companies, and I was left with a windfall, not a salary you rely on solely. Who did you marry? A spin instructor? When you time runs out on the show, hashtag you are next. Let's see if your husband sticks around. Hashtag sugar mama.
Notice that Kelly doesn't deny. She doesn't say I don't marry for money. She's just like,
she brags about it. She's like, hell yeah. And that's all I have. It was very busy social media because a lot of shit was happening on social media during The Bachelor in Paradise last night. Yeah. So my screenshots look insane.
Got a lot to take in.
Yeah.
So they are arriving. They arrive at the office. There was like a step and repeat in the office. I'm like, I feel like that's excessive, having a step and repeat in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
I guess to show off the new looks, but still.
Yeah, and they're all looking at before and after pictures of each other, because mm-hmm. I guess they've all had stuff done.
Yeah, so they're basically there because Shannon needs to get a follow-up, and Kelly's getting Botox, so they're all like having like a plastic surgery moment.
Yeah, so Shannon's sitting there and he's looking at her face and he's like, well, here's the benefits of taking bones from your toe, putting them on your cheek or whatever the fuck they're talking about. And Kelly's like, why don't you do something with her boobs? Do something with her boobs. And Tamara's like, yeah, Shannon's boobs. Do something with her boobs. And Shannon makes a sad look.
Yeah.
And Kelly's like, but you're skinny now and you're dating. Men don't want a motorboat old Shannon titties. They want watermelon titties.
No one wants pancake titties. No one wants pancake titties.
Well, I actually call them my young gravies, so I thought I was being pretty current, but...
So then it switches over to her party, the party that's coming up, and mm-hmm. Tamara's like,
Kelly, I was gonna ask you if you'd be okay if I invited Vickers to the party.
And Kelly's like, if I see her, I'll walk the other way, fuck her.
Yeah, because I had forgotten about this, but at the reunion last year, Vicky accused Kelly of doing coke, so we got to see that interaction again. Like, well, at least I don't do coke.
What? I don't do coke. Never done coke in my life. You do coke. You're coke. You're a Coca-Cola thing. You're like pancake tits. Stupid.
Yeah. And then this all stemmed from Kelly saying something about Vicky's weight.
Right.
Which I don't know how that came up, but Vicky's like, yeah, you basically called me fat. And it's like, no, I didn't. Or maybe she did. I don't remember. But it's like, yeah, well, I'm sorry that I'm heavier, but I don't do coke.
And
like,
now
stay thin.
Yeah. Now Jolie can't invite her friends over because they think that they're going to have, like, that Kelly's going to be doing coke at the house.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Kelly were that sort of cokehead? Like, she's just out there doing lines while her daughter and her friends just walking around.
I know. And Kelly's all worried about whose friends can come over when she's, like, trying to get, like, an army of feral cats around the house.
Sounds safe.
So, did you notice that Tamara got in there? Well, I didn't want to break girl code or anything.
Oh, of course. Never. Tamara would never do that.
Yeah. She got in trouble last year for inviting people or whatever. So, that's over now. We're going to forget about last year as much as possible. Okay, guys?
Yeah, and Kelly's just like, oh, should I just get really drunk and sloppy? And then if Vicky's there, that bitch is really going in the pool. I'm like, yes, I would totally support that. Get drunk and sloppy, Kelly. That's what we want to see.
And of course, Tamara, the good person, is like, I just
want this chair to get along. That's all I want, just for this chair to get along. But no one is taking the proper steps to get along.
That's all she wants. That's all she wants.
That's all Tamara wants. It's just a peaceful world, guys.
Yeah. And that was the end of the episode. So I actually feel like pretty entertaining. I'm hopefully, like, fingers crossed, they got their mojo back.
Yeah, we'll see. Time will tell, everybody. But yeah, this was a really fun one. Everybody, thanks so much for listening to this. We love you guys. Go get your live show tickets, your t-shirts, your Discord server, your bonus episodes for House Hunters. Go get them, okay? Go to watchwhatcraftins.com. For more info about the Housewives, go to watchwhatcraftins.com.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.